I'm Georgie Frost. Very warm welcome if you've just joined us to Share Radio Morning. We are on digital, online and through the Share Radio mobile app, here to make that pound in your pocket go a little bit further. Now, this is the Share Radio book slot, and we're going to focus now on relationships, particularly the cost of adultery and divorce and separation, or not, from the perspective of a wronged party. I'm joined in the studio by CJ Grace, former journalist and author of the new book, Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not. A very good morning to you, CJ. Thank you so much for coming in. An interesting title of a book. What made you write a book entitled The Adulterer's Wife?
Well, I started writing it out of personal experience. In fact, I had no concept of writing a book, but my job was working with book production, and I went to a Kindle conference on how to market Kindle books. And one of the exercises there was to write an outline of a book. Mm-hmm. And the stuff just poured out. I had no idea I was going to be writing it, but I wrote the outline. Then I had to do an elevator speech to other participants in the group, where you have to give them a 30-second pitch as if you were only having the time for an elevator to go from one floor to the next, to try to persuade them to buy the book. And I had a very positive response. People hadn't thought of that book being around. The initial title, I might add, was Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive If You Choose to Stay. Mm. Because at that time, after I had found out about my husband's adultery, that was really what I was trying to do. I didn't want to write a hatchet job. I wanted to write something that would help women going through similar circumstances deal with the situation.
Well, let's put the book, I mean, let's talk about that situation. Put the book to one side, if you would, for a moment, and just take us back to the impetus behind it. What went wrong? How did you find out? What was going on in your life?
It was a very boring way of finding out. It was through a text. Nothing very exciting. But it was a situation that my husband didn't particularly want to give up the other woman. And that is a much harder route to navigate. You know, if your husband tries to say, well, you know, I'd like to be with both of you.
How long had you been married?
Nearly 30 years.
Did you have children?
Yes, they were grown. And in some ways, I was in a fortunate position because I didn't really have to think about taking care of young children, because that really affects the decision of what you're going to do. We were financially reasonably well off, so it wasn't a situation where we didn't have enough money to live separately. Neither of us were really trying to get into a very adversarial situation, which is very, very common. So in retrospect, I'm actually quite grateful that it happened. I'm happier now than I had been during the marriage.
Very gracious of you, I'm sure,
And, you know, in some ways I can understand why he's happier with the woman he's with, and I'm happier now living the life that I live. I mean, life is short. Mm. You never know. Things are ephemeral. You never know how long things are going to last. You never know whether things are going to stay great, because they usually change. But
did you have any inkling that something wasn't right?
The final thing that happened was very sudden. It was at the time I was getting on very, very well with my husband. We've had ups and downs. When you have a long relationship like that, you always have to make compromises. You know, relationships never stay the same as they are in the honeymoon period. And if you're assuming that they will, if you're basing your expectations on that, you're going to be disappointed. And that's one of the, in terms of the financial aspects, that's one of the biggest problems, because I think most people put more effort into screening a tenant or a potential employee than they do a potential mate. So that the idea of having a background check done on your potential husband, oh, that's so unromantic. We can't do that. I love him. I'm not going to do that. But I've heard so many stories, having done the research for this book, of people who have found that they've married people with serious credit card spending issues. One guy, for instance, who married somebody after a very short courtship and found that she had a predilection for spend, spend, spend on the credit cards. They're still together. I don't really exactly understand why, but he works like a dog to pay her extravagant bills. So those kinds of things, people don't think with a rational mind sometimes when they're choosing who to marry in the first place. And in a way, they'll think about sexual compatibility, they'll think about emotional compatibility, but they won't think necessarily about financial compatibility when choosing a mate.
But bearing in mind, you had a very long and presumably very successful relationship up until whatever started to go wrong.
That's true. That wasn't a problem in our relationship, but in the research I did, talking to a lot of other women, it was incredibly obvious that a lot of women didn't really pay good attention to the finances. Let me give you another example of a woman that I knew who was an older relative of mine. She was married for a long time. Her husband, when they were in their 60s, went off with his secretary. She hadn't had any hand at all on the finances. "Don't worry, my love, I'll take care of everything." Mm. And he had salted away all the money to Switzerland. So when they divorced, she got virtually nothing. So it's a cautionary tale. You really need to know what's happening. You really need to know. And actually, you don't need to know just because your husband might have an affair or decide to leave you or decide to hide all the money abroad. What would happen if he were incapacitated? What would happen if he died? Mm. If you've had no handle on any of the family finances, that's the worst time to be learning about it.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right there. It's not all about whether relationships should end, but it is something that I've discussed on the show here. It's about, and I'm glad you pointed out, it's not just, of course, men that cheat and women who are the wronged party here. Of course, it works both ways.
Absolutely.
But we do talk a lot about the fact that in relationships, and I speak to a lot of women about this, they say, "Oh, my husband deals with this." Even now, even people of my age and certainly younger than me will say the same thing. And actually, it's about being more responsible within a relationship. It's not about necessarily trust, is it? It's just about perhaps being a little bit more financially sound. It's a partnership. It's equal. So take equal ownership over money matters as well.
That's true. Although generally there's a division of labour in any relationship, and one partner will tend to be dealing with one aspect, maybe the financial aspect, maybe, you know, dealing with the children. Even in this age of feminism, a lot of those roles tend to be very gender specific. And so that leaves a lot of women out in the cold if they do end up divorcing and they find out that they know nothing about what's going on. There is another side of that, though, that tends to affect men more than women, I think. Particularly if you're married to an older man, the man is often a dinosaur about new technology. So he won't have anything to do with online access to accounts. Maybe he can barely read a checkbook. And those people are not in the best state if they split up or if they find their wife has died or has been incapacitated. So this is not necessarily something that only affects women. There are a lot of issues, but you have to educate yourself.
Also, not to hammer home about this, the text that you got, but emotionally, you must have been devastated.
Absolutely.
Whether one knows or suspects something might be going on, it must be the most devastating. You've had children with someone, which in turn we know that if you're not perhaps on top form, mentally speaking, you're not going to make good money decisions. How do you protect yourself from that to make the best decision for you when you are so emotionally racked?
Well, that's true, because even the most level-headed and intelligent person is going to be on an emotional roller coaster. They're going to be suffering fear, insecurity, mm-hmm. jealousy, anger, a desire for vengeance.
Did you feel all those things?
To a certain extent, some of those things came up. But the best thing to do is to try to take a step back. Don't make snap decisions. It's the same kind of advice that people have been given if, say, they're facing a bereavement. You're told, don't make any quick decisions. Don't sell a house in a hurry. Don't just move out. You know, don't just get rid of everything. Take some time to recover. And you have to do the same thing when you're finding out about the fact that your marriage is on the rocks, or maybe your marriage needs some kind of help, perhaps counselling or whatever. But in those circumstances, if you make quick decisions based on, particularly based on revenge, then you can get yourself into serious problems. Another example I came across in the United States was a woman whose psychiatrist husband left her for a former client, And what she did was she reported him to the AMA, the American Medical Association, and he got struck off. He lost his license. Now, whether you approve or disapprove of reporting somebody who's done that, she was really cutting off her nose to spite her face, because in the alimony settlement, this guy no longer had his lucrative practice and she got much less money than she otherwise would have received.
That voice you're hearing, CJ Grace, former journalist and author of the new book, Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not.
Share Radio.
Credit reference agency Equifax has teamed up with Share Radio Morning to produce a monthly show offering you help and tips from the world of credit and the dangers we face from identity fraud. Tune in on the first Thursday morning of each month at 10 o'clock or on demand via the website or the Share Radio app.
Welcome back. This is Share Radio Book Slot, and we're talking about relationships, particularly the cost of adultery and divorce and separation. I'm joined in the studio by CJ Grace, former journalist and author of the new book, Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not. Now, CJ, earlier on you were talking there about revenge, particularly one lady who took revenge on her partner, her former husband. He got struck off. She didn't get a lot of money as a result of it. But to be clear, the book that you wrote, this is not about revenge or payback, because you are the wronged party in all of this. Is this about education, about empowerment? Was it catharsis for you?
To a certain extent, it was cathartic, but I felt very strongly that so many books out there written by women who have had unfaithful husbands are hatchet jobs. They're full of venom. Mm. They're just churning these horrible emotions over and over and spouting, you know, revenge. And I felt that that really wasn't the way to go. I accept that in any relationship, when there are problems, it's not 100% one person's fault. Usually there's some kind of dynamic there that has led to the situation. Everyone is different. There's no one-size-fits-all answer as regards what to do and who's right and who's wrong. In most cases, no one party is 100% wrong, as opposed to being the other party being 100% right. But it seemed to me that the point I wanted to get across with this book is that revenge is not sweet. And the best revenge is to get past the need for it, so that this adultery is a kick in the pants, really, for you to think, well, life is short. This hasn't been working for me. What do I need to do to make the rest of my life fulfilling? What do I want to do with the rest of my life?
But that is so hard. That is so hard. Often do we not find it that even the most toxic environments, be they a relationship, be they work, can seem to us a haven in comparison to the big, bad, wide world. And imagine, you know, you are 50 or 60 and you're thinking, or 70, older, any age, you're thinking, who will want me now? There's all manner of issues that will be going through your head, because adultery feels is very personal.
Absolutely. You've been rejected.
Mm.
That's the way it is. And there's a lot of absurdity in the whole situation. The way I wrote the book was actually with a lot of black humour, because I saw a lot of absurdity in how this was and how you end up feeling like you are the stereotype of the wronged wife. And you think, I don't want to be that stereotype.
Was there an embarrassment about it? People will find out that he cheated on me and they might think it's my fault.
Not that they would think it's my fault, but more that it makes you look like you are damaged. It makes you look like you are not the kind of person that anybody else would want to get involved in. And you certainly don't want to appear to be desperate or anything like that.
Do you think that's a predominantly female attitude? Because what a strange way of thinking.
It is.
Someone treats you badly and you're the one thinking, am I damaged goods?
Well, that's true, but you have been damaged by the emotional hurt. Mm. But what I would say to women going through this is you've got to find a way to feel complete with or without a partner. You have to find, whether it's building a new circle of friends, not just finding another boyfriend right away on the rebound and expecting that to be brilliant when you're desperate. No, building a circle of friends, finding a passion, finding something that really makes you feel fulfilled so that you are complete in yourself, as I said, with or without a partner. It's not easy, but it's well worth striving for.
How did you start that process?
I was very lucky to have some good friends who gave me very good advice. I knew right away that the last thing I wanted to do was to be vengeful and angry and wallow in negative feelings. It's very easy to do that. And I decided to make the point. I decided that I would just try to rebuild a circle of friends. I had found that, for example, I had no male friends left because it almost felt like I was being unfaithful to have male friends. I was pathologically monogamous, unlike my husband. And some friends of mine, one friend in particular, she thought I had hurt her feelings because I hadn't contacted her for so long. And in fact, it was just that I had been focusing nose to the grindstone, kids, business, husband, and not bothering to take care of myself.
It goes back to, can women have it all and thrive?
Yes.
There's so much pressure on us to be great wives, great mums, to work, to have our financial lives all settled and a great network of friends.
Right. But you have to make the decision in your mind that is worth taking a slice of time out of your life to achieve. And it really, really is. And it can be done because you're making choices. You make a choice whether to watch a television program or whether to do exercise or whether to call somebody up and talk to them on the phone. You have plenty of choices in how you spend your time.
Now, we know, going back to the money issue, that money is a reason that many people break up. We spoke about it earlier, especially going into a relationship and not realising quite your spending or saving habits of your other half. But is it also the reason a lot of people stay?
Absolutely, because they know that if they split up, they wouldn't have enough money to feel that they were living at the standard of living they want. So if you don't have enough money to split up, what are you going to do? You're going to stay together.
Especially if you've taken time out of work, perhaps to raise children.
Absolutely.
What do women in that situation do?
Well, in a divorce settlement, for example, everything would be split. And the husband, if they were earning, would have to be paying child support and that kind of thing. But that's the reason why some women would choose not to split up, because they are petrified of going back into the world of the workforce and having to apply for jobs and all that kind of thing. But equally, for some women, one woman in particular, that I heard about, she had been left by her husband for another man. I heard about this through my hairdresser, who had her come, and she wanted all her hair cut off. She had beautiful long hair. She wanted it all cut off. She was trying to punish herself for her husband leaving. The hairdresser said, "Your hair is beautiful. Let me just style it. You don't need to lose it." She had been out of the workforce for maybe 20 years and had to go out and find a job, found a job, got on really well with her boss, and married him. So that's a great story.
It is a very... Hopefully he wasn't married to someone else.
No, then. No.
We're talking about how our financial and personal lives are so interlinked. But for you personally, you're still married, am I right in thinking?
I'm separated at the moment.
When did all this happen?
A couple of years back. And I decided that you don't have to either be together or divorce. Separation is actually quite a good holding position. The other advantage of it is if you are concerned about inheritance for your children, then you might want to make it a little harder for the other party to go off and marry somebody else, and then that other person could be inheriting half of the assets.
And these are things you absolutely have to think about.
Oh, yeah. And then another thing that's really important that I only thought about after this happened was, what about wills and estate plans? Because the average will, if you don't check it, it can have default wording in there that will automatically allow any other child that comes along to take a share of the will, of the assets. And if you have a promiscuous partner, well, he may say, oh, no, 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 I don't have any other children, but he may not even know about other children flying around there. So what you need to do, if you're in this situation, is take a look at those, at the wills, take a look at the estate plans, and make sure before you divorce. I would say, as soon as you find out about infidelity, it's a time to take a look at the wills and at the estate plans and make sure that they specifically disinherit illegitimate children or children other than the ones you've had together.
Do you think then we need to talk a bit more about unpleasant things such as divorce and adultery and money in relationships?
Well, for example, you're doing that if you have a prenup or a postnup, because that is, a lot of people don't like the idea of those, and they are a grey area because, for example, in America, postnups aren't that popular in the courts, whereas over here, prenups aren't particularly popular. A lot of the courts don't recognise prenups.
What's your view? Do you like them?
I don't particularly like them because, first of all, they make a lot of sense in a second marriage, not in a first marriage. I do mention prenups in one circumstance in my book, and that's if you're trying to have a divorce settlement with your husband and you want to be sure that his share is going to be inherited by your children and not by the new wife, you can ask him. He may say yes, he may say no. Well, okay, we'll have this divorce agreement, but you've got to have a prenup or a postnup. A prenup would be what you would do in the States. A prenup to ensure that our children would still inherit those assets. Mm-hmm. Okay, your new wife can live in the house until, you know, for her entire life, but then it still would go to our children. And that is an important part. I think that when you have children, you've got to think in terms of assets being passed to them rather than being passed to the new young wife that your husband has gone off with.
Just finally, on the wording of the book, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not, we focused on the not. But just briefly, what should you think about in terms of if you stay? Were there any positives? Has it ever worked, staying after adultery?
Oh, yes, particularly if the husband or the wife, if the wife's unfaithful, if they're willing to give up the other woman and they decide, I've made a big mistake, I really want to be with you, then I think that you can have a successful relationship. Some people even say that their relationship was better after that because it gave them a chance to really talk to each other from their hearts and work out what it was they really wanted the relationship to be. If the person does not want to give up the other woman, that's a lot harder. There are open relationships out there, but more often than not, they're forced upon one party by the other.
CJ Grace, former journalist and author of the new book, Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.